Morning. Vayomer lo Yaakov yeomer oy shimcha ki im Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu fought with the Sarei Shalesa of the entire night, and it was only Vayaki lo Yocholoi when he saw it was the day, dawn was breaking, where the Malach was forced to give Yaakov a bracha, and he told him lo Yaakov yeomer oy shimcha ki im Yisrael. The name Yaakov implies trickery and geneva. As we discussed, throughout Esav's life, he walked around convinced that Yaakov was a thief. Yaakov was the roidif and Esav was the nerdif. First Yaakov tricked him out of the Bechira, then he stole the Bracha. So Esav was convinced that Yaakov was a thief. And this went on throughout the night, and it was only when the day dawned, which is a simon for the Geula, the Sarei Shalesav had to concede that he was wrong, and it was really he was the roidif and Yaakov was the nirdif. This concept is mirrored in the pasuk of Sheiris Yisrael Oyasa Avav Oydaber Chazov, which is the source of all the halachos we've been discussing. Sheiris Yisrael means the remnant of Yisrael. The poor portion of Klal Yisrael that zoicha to the Geula Shleima, those are the people who are will be lo yedaber chazav, people who are erulich and people who are honest. Again, we see this concept that the midah of emes is associated with the Geula. The Smag explains as follows. He explains that we know that komash baraka kadosh baruch hu lebor elul chvoidoi. The ultimate goal is for Kvod Shemayim. If when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Geula, the Umas Olam will look at Klal Yisrael and they'll recognize, oh, these are the people that cheated me. These are the people that were not honest in business, a bunch of Nadoffs and Rothsteins. There can be no greater Chilul Hashem. They'll be saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose for himself a group of bandits and thieves. And therefore the Smag writes that for the Geula to take place, we have to be especially careful that we are zohir and honest with our dealings with the Umas Olam. And that way, the Geula would not chas v'shalom be a Chilul Hashem. He adds that while this is always true, the Midah of Emes is always important, he writes that now that the Geula lasted so long, it's especially important to go l'fnim mishuras hadin and go above and beyond our chiyuvim to make sure that we're acting in a way that's honest and does not create a chilul Hashem. Now, we've spent the past few weeks discussing different halachos of emes. The first halacha we learned is halacha of Mishnah Parah. A person makes a commitment to buy something, he pays money for it. So halacha is, although there was no contract, there's no kinyan, if he backs out, it is aser, and he deserves a curse. That Mishnah Parah Mi'anchei Dor HaMavol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish someone who backs out of his commitments. If he made a verbal commitment but did not pay for it, that was a concept of Mechusar Amonu. It's someone who backs out is Ein Ruach HaChom Noichi Menu, it's aser, but Bezin can't do anything, there's no one, there's Bidei Adam, there's nothing that can be done to force him to be honest and to carry through with his commitment. Today we're going to introduce a new concept, the concept of Dover Emes Bovavli. And although it's not brought down in Shulchan Aruch, it is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hus Mechira, and in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tzamech Beis, and it's referred to at least by the Torah in Simen Reish and Choshen Mishpat. Dover Emes Bovavli, the Makar is a Sheoltis that we saw this morning in Simen Lam, in Oislam and Vav. That Rav Safra had wine to sell, he had a certain price that he needed. A buyer came in, offered him a price. Rav Safra was in the middle of laning Shema, so he couldn't respond. In his mind, he was ready to accept the offer, the price was good enough for him. But he couldn't talk, he was in the middle of davening. The buyer misinterpreted his silence and thought the offer wasn't good enough, and he raised his offer. When Rav Safra finished davening, he told the buyer that although you've raised the offer, since your initial offer was acceptable to me, and in my mind, in my heart, I was ready to accept it, I want to be a doyver emes bilvavoy, and therefore I'm going to accept your original offer, I'm not going to take the extra money. Now clearly this is a midas chasidus. It is not a chiyuv mikar hadin. It's not like mechusar amana where it's asur to be chayzer. If you never accepted the offer verbally, you have the right al pi halacha to back out. But a midas chasidus, which certainly is, should be everyone's goal, a person should honor even his machshava, even what he thought in his mind. Now the Bach and Simon Reish has a very interesting case. There's a halacha of anoisin kli levakrei. A person buys something. He buys a tie. And he tells the person that, you know, there's no return policy, but he tells the person, listen, I want to go home and make sure it matches my, I like the way it matches my suit. And the seller says, fine, you can take it home. Takes it home. And then the person decides, you know, I don't really need another tie. It's a little too expensive. And he wants to bring it back. So what's the halacha over here? So over here, the Torah writes, he has the right to bring it back, but it's a midas chasidus not to. So the Bach explains that the reason why it's not mechusar amono is because you bought it al tanai. If you said I'm interested in buying this tie, you gave a dibur. So once you give an amira, once you say you're going to buy it, you have to buy it. Over here, you said I'm going to buy it if I like it. It's conditional. If you took it home and you didn't like it, is there anything wrong with bringing it back? No. Those are the terms. You're taking it to see if you like it. The question over here is, you took it home, you liked it, but now you have another reason why you want to bring it back. So as far as Mechusar Amana is concerned, it's not Mechusar Amana. Because the seller was never same as that. He didn't know, he did have a sale, he didn't have a sale. It depends. If you like it, your wife likes it, whatever the story was. Since it wasn't a guaranteed sale, there's no simichas das, it will not be mechusar amana. Nevertheless, since you took it and you did like it, then backing out is considered doiver emes bovavoy, and it's something which at least a midas chasidus, you should not back out. Now, the Levush Mordechai has a very interesting story. A person was selling goods. He got a telegraph asking him for a quote. So he sends back a quote, $75 a piece. The telegraph operator messed up. There was a typo. And apparently, the buyer got back a telegraph telling him it was $95 a piece. He sent back, great, I'll take 10 of them. And I'm going to wire you $950. So now the seller had a problem. The person's ready to offer $950 for these goods. On the other hand, he was really ready to accept $75 a piece. So the question is, as a doiver emes vovavoy, is the right thing for, does he have an obligation to tell the buyer, listen, I was ready to sell it to you for $75, therefore that's all I want, and keep the extra $200.
What?
Doesn't discuss that. Obviously, if there was a no, then I wouldn't be a question. But let's assume the shahr was 95, and he had been ready to give a discount. Zog Levush Mordechai, it's not a problem. Why? Because the pshat of Deir Emes Bavavai is, just like Mechusar Amana, if we have a verbal agreement, even though there's no contract, I have to stick to it, I have to honor my agreement. Deir Emes Bavavai means that if there's really a meeting of the minds, you're offering 75. I'm willing to accept 75. And in my heart, and in my mind, I did accept it. But just, there was a miscommunication, you thought I said no and you offered more. There, that's Deir Emes Bavavai, you should give it to him for 75. In this case, when you were asked for a quote, and at that point, you were ready to give it for 75, was there a deal on the table now? Was there a meeting of the minds? No. You didn't know if the buyer was interested in paying 75, you didn't know if he was interested in paying 65 or 95. You had no idea. So had you spoken it out, there wouldn't have been a deal yet. It was only you would have told the buyer, he would have thought about it, he would have said yes. At that point, there would be a deal. But since when you made the mistake, when you were thinking about the 75, the buyer had not indicated yet he was willing to pay 75, the Levush Mordechai paskins, there's no Deir Emes Bavavai, and it would be mutar b'chachilu to back out. Now this is a chiddush, but one thing which I think is clear is that even when we're dealing with a concept of Dover Emes Bavavoi, which ultimately is a concept of Midas Chasidus, it's not a chiyuv, there are rules. We don't just say, you know, Dover Emes Bavavoi, whatever you think you have to do. There are gedorim, there are rules to it. If it's within these gedorim, then there is a Midas Chasidus to go to honor it. If it doesn't meet these criteria, then there's no reason not to take the higher amount. Now this leads us to a bit of an interesting scenario. I gave a shiur a few weeks ago. It actually wasn't on this topic per se, it was on a similar topic. But after the shiur, someone came over and he wanted to know, you know, and we're saying now there's a midas chasidus, that if in your mind you're willing to accept an offer, even if you're now able to get more, you should stick with the original price. We had another situation where by trade tari, let's say I verbally agree to sell something, where there's a question of mechusar amono, but then the price changes, and now I can get a better deal elsewhere. So trade tari, there was a machlokes, and many achroinim paskin, that if the market changes, I have the right to back out, even though I gave you a verbal okay, because the facts changed. And we said then from the Aruch HaShulchan, that although the halacha I could be chayzer, it is a midas chasidus not. So the person came over after the shir, and he had a similar situation. He had a house on the market, he verbally agreed to accept a certain price, and now things change, he was able to get a higher price, and he wanted to know, does the midas chasidus apply to him? Now this person happened to have been in the construction industry. Now as many of you know, today people in the construction industry are not necessarily rolling in dough. It's a very challenging industry these days. And the week before, coincidentally, someone had approached me and asked me if I was able to, he knew that this gentleman that was asking the question was behind on his tuition a couple of months, and wanted to know if I can speak to some neighbors and try to raise some funds for this person. So here's the question. On one hand, he made a verbal commitment to sell at a certain price. The market changed, and now he can do better. Trey Tari, we said, Mahalakha, you can back out. He said, the midas chasidus not. So as a person, is it have the right to be machmir on this midas chasidus if he has chayvus? If he has creditors that he can't afford to pay back? Or do we say no? You're being machmir on someone else's cheshbon. Now, if the case was, which, you know, very unfortunately this is very common, where he may owe tuition, he may have bali chayvus, but if he gets more for the house, this is going straight to his vacation fund, then it's not a shaila. Obviously, he has to do what's right over here, and that's not the question. But what happens, and this is the situation, this is an erlechayir. He had a very simple lifestyle. If he had more money, extra cash, it would go to pay back his creditors. So what's the right thing to do in this situation? Now, it's self-evident that there's no heter to rob a bank to pay a chayv. You can't do an iser simply because you owe someone money and you can't pay them back. On the other hand, if it's not a question of doing an iser, it's a question of you have a chumrah, or even a chumrah which in halacha you should be doing, but it's a chumrah, it's not required up in halacha, then it's very mistavra, you can do the chumrah with your money. But if the people who are losing out are the creditors, then it's not so posh. And I would think, it's halacha v'loy l'maisa, but I would think that you don't have the right to be machmir if ultimately it's coming out of someone on someone else's cheshbon. Where it gets a little bit interesting is the Rabbeinu Yoina in Mishlei that we have in the Maror Mekoymis. He's talking about the Midah of Emes. And he brings up a concept of Dover Emes Bavavoi. And he makes a very interesting point. He says we find in the Lashon Chazal two separate concepts. Sometimes we're dealing with a matter, and it is a midas chasidus. Midas chasidus, Rabbeinu Yoina explains, it means if you don't do what you didn't do anything wrong, you didn't do anything ra. A midas chasidus, someone who is a chasid, someone who is mahadir, always to do things outside of yours or tov, which we should all be. But that is a midas. Such a person would go ahead and do this midas chasidus. But then continues Rabbeinu Yoina. There's a concept of a Yorei Shemayim. Some Yisurim, we say a Yorei Shemayim should be Machmer. Now what does that mean? It means a Yarei Shamayim, someone who is afraid of the Ribbono Shel Olam and realizes that if he does something wrong, there's going to be an Oinish. He shouldn't do such a thing. Zogar Ben Yoina, David Emes Bovavoy is a gather of a Yarei Shamayim. So Ben Yoina seems to be saying that it's not simply a question of a chumra, of something that a chassid does, and it's an extra credit, if you will. He seems to be saying that not being a makbid on Dover Emes Bovavoy is doing something which is wrong. It's doing something which you can't use the word iser, but you're doing something which is ra. And in that case, it's not so simple that I should go ahead and do something which is wrong simply so that now I'll have more cash available to a creditor. Now again, halacha is tzarachian. L'maisa, this is not brought down in Shulchan Aruch at all. Again, the Tur mentions it. The Tur happens to call him this chasidus. He doesn't use the word Yarei Shamayim. So I don't know if you can, based on this Rabbeinu Yoina, go ahead and do something on the creditor's cashman. But it's something to think about. That's true, but if he has absolutely no money left, then you can't call him an Adi Yarei Shamayim. You can be the biggest Yarei Shamayim in the world. If you're flat broke, it's not a tie on you.
No, but if he can get this money to pay.
But what is can get? Is this a way to get the money? The same way I don't have to rob a bank, it's not called that I could get it. To do something which is usur, isn't that, or Yarei Shamayim shouldn't do, perhaps it's not an option. It's not one of the things on the table.
I mean, usur is bond, but it's not usur, it's just
chumra. So that's the question. If it's me that's chassidus, I think it's pashut, it would be usur. According to Rabbeinu Yoina, it's less clear. Again, I'm not saying halacha either way. Now, okay, let me just... There is another factor to take into account. There's a Chuvus Marshal in Simen Tzadi Tes, which is quoted in Yerodeya, Simen Kuf Samaches, and it has Ois Yotes. I don't know Pshaim is Marshal, but at least for this case, I think you can use it. The Mechaber over there says a halacha like this. A person goes over to his friend and says that a goy asked me to borrow money from you with interest. The goy gave me collateral, a mashkin. Take this, give me the money, I'll pass it along to the guy, and then in a year from now he'll pay you back, you'll get back the principal plus the 10%. And that's what he did. A year later, when it's time to pay back, the person comes back to the creditor and says, I have a confession to make. When I took the money from you, and I gave you this mashkin, I gave you this collateral, and I said, I'm acting on behalf of a guy, it wasn't true. I needed the money, I took it for myself. The collateral that you have belonged to me. And therefore, I'm going to give you back the keren, the principal, but I can't pay you anything extra. That would be rivas. Salach is, the malva has the right to say, nothing doing. I don't believe you. A year ago, you told me you were acting on behalf of a goy, and this belonged to a goy. Hadoz baldin kmei edim dami. I believe that. I think now you're just pulling some sort of fraud, and therefore, you want your mashkin back, you have to pay me the ribbis, because as far as I'm concerned, it came from a goy. No. If you don't need a heteriska, because when you came originally, you said you were acting as an agent for the goy. That means the money is being lent to a goy.
Is there something verbal? Everything verbal.
That's where all the problems are. What? Well, he has a mashkin. He has collateral. So Zogar Marshal. Marshal says, I don't understand. He says it depends on the case. If the borrower was a wealthy person, and he was doing this just for, you know, and he's, according to his story now, he was just taking this extra money to invest, to make some more money, then I agree. But he says if the borrower was an ani, and he was desperate for money because he owed money to a guy who was coming after him, or there was some other hezek. He says, "There, what do you mean that ain't of the meis matzmei rasha?" Zogar Marshal, the halacha of Sher Yisrael Loyasa Avla does not apply if the person that was borrowing the money and made this misrepresentation was desperate for the money. If he owed money to a guy and he was trying to cover his bills and trying to save himself, there he says you would not be Oyvish Eretz Yisrael. Now this Marshal is a plea. He seems to be saying that Mechusar Amon is only when you don't have a good reason. But if you really need, if you're desperate, no problem, lie, cheat, do whatever you want to get the money. I don't know when to apply it or how to be magdur it. I've heard different dichuyim. Maybe it was a zakana. Maybe it was a hezek. Maybe in that case, the malva had a chiyuv to lend it to you. Anyway, in kesef talva, it's a shver mashal. But I'll call upon him in this case, when you're dealing with a question of trey tari, and you're dealing with a compelling reason to back out, because you have a creditor that you're not able to pay, you can be mitzarif the mashal, and you can be mekel. And therefore, going back to our story, whether it's Zeres Kubavavo or whether it's Mukhusra Amana by Trey Tari, if you have creditors, the right thing to do would be to back out, get the money, and pay off your Chiyuvim. Zeres Kubavavo, well, even Mukhusra Amana, the Masham says over, it's really Gemara and Mukhusra Daf Yud Gimel, that Mukhusra Amana does not apply with a guy. And what the Gemara says is, Mechusra Amara applies only when you're dealing with a Yid, and there's a verbal agreement, there's a meeting of the minds. So, as far as a Yid is concerned, the deal is done, and neither party can back out. When you're making a commitment to a Goy, the same way the Goy has no din of Deir Emes Bavavai, or no din of Mechusra Amara, there's nothing locking him in, there's no contract, he has every right to walk away. So the Yid that makes that commitment to him is not binding himself or locking him in more than the counterparty is. And therefore, unless it's a two-way deal, where both people are locked in on Mechusra Amana, it will not apply at all. And therefore, even Mechusra Amana does not apply to a Goy. You certainly have to deal with Chil Hashem, you have to take into account whether it will be a Chil Hashem, but as far as that halacha is in the Gedona of Mechusra Amana, it won't apply. And especially the Makar is She'eris Yisrael lo yasav lo da'bechazav. It's talking about a Yid.
And then that's Mechusra Amana, but the Deir Emes Bavavai is the Ruchni sticking in. He said it doesn't apply to a
Goy. Deir Emes Bavavai is a higher, if even Mechusra Amana doesn't apply, Lachar Deir Emes Bavavai won't either.
No, it's
What you're really doing is you're asking a question on Mechusra Amana. Because Mechusra Amana itself, the point is, or if the Makar is from Hinshalcha Tzedek, then that should apply regardless of the counterparty.
Backing out of that deal, many cases.
In which case?
This guy is backing out because he had a higher offer. The fact that he was learning not to buy the house, you have the right to back out. But the first guy still had, you say, first rights as far as buying, which is
it sounds like a nice thing to do. I can't point to any halacha in Shulchan Aruch that would be mechayev you to do that, but it certainly sounds like a nice thing to do. Now, just to go on to another example where we find the Mechusra Amana, we make certain cheshbonos. We mentioned 2 weeks ago that in Yerideya there's a whole discussion of Mechusra Amana as far as giving a bris. You're mechabit someone to be a moyel, to be a sandik, and then you want to back out. The halacha is Mechusra Amana. Once you offered someone the kavod, you have to carry through with it. What happens if you offer one person the kavod? You tell him he's going to be the sandik. The person goes out of town, and now, you know, the child was sick, the person went out of town, and then suddenly you decide to do the bris, so you get someone else. Now you have two conflicting commitments. So we discussed the halacha was you give it to the first person, because we assume the second commitment was only done by mistake. You didn't realize that the first person would be back in time, that's why you made the commitment. But now that he's back, you give it to the first person. Zog the Aruch HaShulchan, that's only true if before the bris, both people come. You realize you have a conflict. So then you give it to the person who you promised it to first. However, what happens if the second person already travels from wherever it was, he already came to the shul, and to make it dramatic, he's holding the baby, and then suddenly the first person shows up. He's back in town. So do you take it away from him to give it to the person you made the first commitment to? So the Dr. Aruch HaShulchan, if you're dealing with a mayel. You promised both of them to be a mayel. He said, I have a good solution. One of them does the milo, the other one does the priya. You split the baby. For a sandik, that's not so easy. You can't have one person holding the arms and one person holding the legs. So there the Aruch HaShulchan says, although normally we give it to the first person, because you committed to him first, but once the second person is here, if you take away the child from him, that's a major bezayin, to slap in the face. He said, Gadol kavod habriyos, you can't do that. And therefore, in such a case, once he's already here, then you just leave it with him, and you don't give it to the first person. Now, a similar point, and this is a very common question with Mechusar Amana, is very often a person will make a commitment. He'll commit to buy something, to do something. You'll have a seller. He's selling his house. The buyer will give him a contract. He'll look it over and say, you know what? I'm accepting this offer. It's good as is. He then goes home. He reads through the contract a little bit more carefully, and he sees the inspection clause, the mortgage contingency clause. It's very generous, and he's afraid the buyer is going to back out. So he wants to call the buyer and say, nothing doing. You either get rid of the mortgage contingency or the deal's off. Is this Mechusar Amana or not? Now, if the seller read it, he knew what it said, and now he's changing his mind, that's clearly Mechusar Amana. But in this case, the seller is saying, I didn't read it, I didn't understand it, I didn't read it that carefully. Is there Mechusar Amana in such a case? So halacha is, if I sign a contract, and then I come back the next day and say, you know what, I know I signed this contract, but I didn't read it, and I didn't really mean to accept this mortgage contingency. Is that a good time? No. Once you sign it, it's signed, it's a done deal. There's a chazaka, first of all, that if you signed it, you read it first. People don't sign documents without reading it. Even if you can prove you didn't read it, it's written in English, you grew up in Williamsburg and you don't read English. Still, the halacha is tough. When you sign a legal document, you are obligating yourself to whatever it says, regardless of whether you understood it or not. That's when you sign an agreement. Over here, there's nothing signed. There's a verbal commitment. How do we deal with that? Now, l'chaira, this is a Mefurash HaGemara. The Gemara that we learned on Daf Mem Tes, Gemara quoted in Mishnah, that someone hired Poyolim and said, I'm going to give you mezonos, I'm going to give you food. And then, so the Gemara says that the Tana told him that go right away and back out, because unless you give kesuda shloima b'shaita, unless you give a huge suda, you're not going to be yotze. And the Gemara says this is an issue of Mechusar Amana. Question is, Mechusar Amana, when the person said, I'm going to give the workers food, did he mean he's going to give like sudas shloim b'shaitai? Obviously not. He thought he was just going to give him food. So the answer is, he made a mistake. When you say you're going to give a poyel food, this Tano holds it means you're going to give him mamash a feast. But if it's a mistake, what's a Mechusar Amana? Let him say, I didn't mean it. I had no intention to do it. Why is there a Mechusar Amana? So the Ritva HaKadoshim asked this kasha. And the Ritzvah, he's matcha, the Gemara, he says, Enachanami. He says, if you make a commitment and you don't understand the ramifications at that time, there's no Mechusar Amana. Mechusar Amana is, you made a commitment, now you're backing out. If there was a mistake, if there was a toss, then you cannot be held to your words. Now, because this is a question of Issa V'Heter, it's not a question of Kinyanim, it's not a question of a contract, a person would have Nemanos. If he says, I didn't understand it, or I misunderstood it, we believe him. And we can't call him a Mechusar Amana if Lishitasa, according to his version of the story, according to his narrative, it was a mistake. He would have the right to back out. Obviously, it's something which is Nitin L'Shmayim, it's something which V'yoreisa Melekecha, but if he claims it was all a misunderstanding, and had he realized what the ramifications were, he wouldn't have done it, you cannot hold him to his word. Now, another very common shaila that comes up is, and this is also, it's questionable, I'll just float it out as a question. Let's say you're buying a house. You're buying a house from a guy. Your broker happens to be a Haimish Yid. You go down, you look at the house, you negotiate, you make a verbal commitment. Okay, I'm interested, I want the house. You think it over and you change your mind. Is that Mechusar Amana or not? Now, as far as buying the house, as far as the seller is concerned, is that Mechusar Amana? No. The seller is a guy. And as we pointed out before from the Gemara and Bechoris, there's no Mechusar Amana between a Yid and a guy. There was no contract, there was no money changed hands, you can back out. The question is, what about the broker? Is there Mechusar Amana to him? So here, I would say not. Because if I Let's say I tell someone, you know what, I plan on giving my neighbor in Lakewood a present. And then I change my mind. Is that Mechusar Amanah? No. If I told my neighbor I'm going to give you a present, it's a commitment to you. If I change my mind, that's Mechusar Amanah. But if I told a third party about this present, L'chayr, it's not a commitment to him, and that would not go into the Gedarim of Mechusar Amanah. In this case, your commitment was to buy the house. You told it to the broker who would pass it along to the seller. Now, it's true the broker would benefit if you bought this house, because the broker would get paid from the seller. But since the broker is not working for you, the broker is a subagent of the listing agent. He's getting paid by the seller, not by the buyer. And the commitment is not directly related to him. It's to a third party. It's mistavra in such a case that wouldn't be mechusar amanah. I mean, you can argue, it's not a halacha psuka, but I'll call upon him, there's a svar over here that the commitment was to the wrong person.
You seem to be saying on the flip side, if you're selling a house to a guy, that the mechusar amanah would require you to go through the sale if you have a Jewish broker.
Okay, there are two separate svaras. There's one svara that my commitment is to the buyer, to the seller. The broker, that svara would still apply. In our case, there's an additional svara that his benefit is very tangential. That argument, you're right. That will not apply. Now, I just want to end off one last halacha, and that is. There's the Shiloh we discussed about a moil. If you promise someone or you commit, you're gonna give him a cover, you let him do the bris. So the Beis Yosef in Yerodea points out from the Mordechai says that if you back out, it's mechusar amanah. It's not a question of kinyonim. When you offer someone the right to be a moil, you're not selling him your child. He doesn't have a schos mamon to do the bris. But if you back out, there's mechusar amanah. Beis Yosef ends off, the Rosh argues. The Rosh argues and says it's motu l'chachila to back out. Comes to the Darkan Baish and says there's no machlokes. If you look at the Rosh just says that when you tell someone you can do a bris, it's not a kinyan. You want to back out, you could back out, we can't force you to go through. But Zok the Darkan Baish, everyone really agrees that although you can't force the person, backing out is considered mechusar amanah and it would be aser. Based on that, the Ramah paskins in Reish Samach Dalet, that if you tell someone you can be the Sandik, you can be the Moyel, it's also to change your mind. Zok the Yad Avram. The Yad Avram comes along and says, the Darkei Moshe was based on a wrong Girsa in the Rosh. The Tshuvas in Rosh, there are two Tshuvas that discuss the matter. The Ramah had the first Tshuva, which is very salsam, it's very short. And the Rosh just says, when you tell someone you can be a moil, it's not a kinyan. You can't force it in Bezdin, you can back out. Zog the Yad Avram. There's a second Rosh in Simon in Klal Kuf Yud Beis. There the Rosh speaks out a bigger chiddush. The Rosh says that the whole din of mechusar amanah is only when you have something where there could be a kinyan. If you made a kinyan, if you did a kinyan sodar, the deal would be done. If I don't make a kinyan by native verbal commitment, that's mechusar amanah to back out. However, what happens if we're dealing with a kinyan dvarim? When I tell someone you could do a bris mila, that's not something, it's not mamonis. You can't make a kinyan on such a thing. You can't sell your child for a bris. Since it's not a dover shel mamon, the Rosh says mechusar amanah will not apply. What? That he doesn't discuss. Okay, hold on. Good. So, what is the Rosh saying? The Rosh is limiting this whole halacha of mechusar amanah. It's a halacha in dini mamonis. It's in chayshin mishpat. You have a deal where you don't make a kinyan, but if there's a verbal agreement, mechusar amanah. But the moment you're dealing with someone which is not a davar shel mamon, you're dealing with a kinyan dvarim, you can do a bris mila, you can be a sandik. That's not something which you can buy or sell or have a kinyan. There the Rosh holds, there would be no mechusar amanah whatsoever. Now the halacha is a little bit interesting, because the Ramah, l'maisa paskins, it is mechusar amanah. The Yad Avram and the Marshag and the Chespitim all point out, the psak is based on a wrong girsa in the Rosh. But nevertheless, the Ramah says it's aser, the Taz says it's aser, and many of the G'dayei Achronim say that it's aser. So the vast majority of places can say, even though it may, the Ramah may have had the wrong gears in the rush, still, once that, it's a halacha psuka, once you have so many gedolim achroinim passing like that, we follow the psak anyway, we don't try to outsmart and say, since it was a mistake, the whole thing, the whole psak is batal. So, come out of all the places can pass in as halacha l'maisa, that Mechusar Almanah will apply, even in cases which are not mamonis. But what comes out, is an amazing chiddush. I think there are many people who, they're halacha people. You know, if you meet them in shul, their word's a word, you can count on them, friends and family, what they say they do. Somehow, when they get to their office, and they're sitting behind their desk, and they're in business, they have a whole different personality. And suddenly they become ruthless business people who you have to watch your back, you have to make sure everything is in writing and signed and documented, because you never know what he'll do to make a couple of bucks. It comes out, lahalacha, that it's punk fakir. That whenever you're dealing with a business deal, whenever you're dealing with dinei mominus, there everyone agrees, if you make a commitment you back out, that's mechusar amanah. When you walk away, when you're not dealing with a davar shamamim, when you're dealing with be my mayo, be a sandik, a kavoid, something bein adam lechaveroi, there is very debatable. And according to the Rosh, and according to the Yad Avram, the whole isra mechusar amanah will not apply. So I think it's something to walk away with, that fakir, that a person has to be even more careful in his business dealings than other issues. Certainly, again, it's emes and sheker, there's a whole sugya. The right thing to do is for a person to be honest in all of his dealings, but it's especially true when we're dealing with an yoni mamis.